recorded live.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to another episode of the greatest show on earth. Greatest show on Tuesday night. It's bigger than NFL. It's bigger than the world, the baseball World Series. It's bigger than hockey. It's bigger than man itself. It's marriage. It's the virtual talk show for married men. It's the show that everybody is talking about. It's the show that everybody wants to hear. Yes, we come to you tonight bringing you another of many episodes from the www.householdstress.com team. We come to you this evening to tell you another thing that we're all going through or we get ready to go through. Our topic this evening, can your marriage survive a midlife crisis? A midlife crisis. Wow. Few rules that we have. Be respectful to others' conversation. It's good to disagree. It's all right. But no cursing. Let's keep the cursing down. It's still a family show, even though it's for men. All right? With that, let's get started. Okay, I was telling one of the other hosts that host this show earlier when we came on is that I felt like this topic, literally just this evening, rang the doorbell, I opened the door, he came in and said, "What's for dinner?" Now, I'm only 37 years old, and that shouldn't be thinking about a midlife crisis. But maybe I got a too far head start in life, and so, you know, rapidly I've done all that I can do. I'm at where I want to be. My family's at where they want to be. But now it's all getting to me, to the point where you start thinking about other things. Things we want to talk about tonight is, how are you feeling about your marriage? Is there things that you want to do that you haven't had the opportunity to do because you got married? has you not doing things affected your marriage? And, most of all, your physical, emotional appearance and feelings about sex. Yes, that's right. We're going to get to it, that midlife crisis sex. Let's talk about it, fellas. Let's talk about it. First thing I want to talk about is what is in your mind right now. Are any of the following thoughts, just think about it, fellas, or something close to it swirling around your mind? Or have you actually said them to your spouse at any time in your relationship? I'm not in love with you anymore. I still love you like a friend, but I'm not in love with you anymore. I never knew anything besides life with you. We got married too young. Or, if you hadn't been pregnant, we would never gotten married. Wow. Has anybody answered one of those questions? Or has the thought ever come up in your mind to ask that question to your spouse?
I would have to say no.
Good.
None
of the above.
Do you
know of anybody that has maybe come to you and had that thought?
Mm-hmm. Can't recall right off the top.
Well, that's a good thing. Because there are some folks that do get married young. And that's the reason why I brought up that question. There are some folks that get married right out of high school. And there's some folks that might get married right out of college. And they haven't lived life. They haven't fully experienced other things outside of the home because they went and got married early. And because of that, it could be affecting their relationship down the line. And since nobody's on this call has had that, I just want to put that out there. Is we may come back to it later, but just think of it. And if you know anybody, then we'll talk about it then. But I do have a friend myself, who I think this is going through right now. This friend got married with his girl he met and was dating from high school. Now they have a couple kids, and they're going through some real marital problems right now. She wants to go out and have fun. He's like, hold up. Hold up. What about the kids? We need to be building. I want to get a house. I want to do all this stuff. They're not on the same page. So not, it's not him that's going through the midlife crisis. It's his wife that's going through the midlife crisis. How do you work through that?
Yeah, and I think when when you think about midlife crisis, the concept, 9 times out of 10 you think about, the man,
mm-hmm.
Going through it. You don't really think about a woman going through a midlife crisis, which absolutely does happen. But I mean, you don't really think about it from that standpoint.
No.
Naturally, it comes to, you just think about, the man.
I have to agree with you because I had no words for him. I didn't know what to really say except maybe let her have her midlife crisis.
Somebody's pet is having a midlife crisis.
Mm-hmm. that's my dog. That's my dog. Sorry about that. Mommy just got home from work, so.
Oh, okay.
She hears mommy and she has to bark. But I apologize about that. But, yeah, I mean, just think about it. It could be anybody. It doesn't have to be us. It could be your wife having a midlife crisis, which can affect your marriage. How, if she wants to go out to the club every night and come home, totally wasted, is that okay? Does she have the right to do that?
Negative.
Yeah,
true?
Not as a wife.
Not as a
wife.
Not as a wife?
No.
She shouldn't have any freedom. She's been with the kids all day. Her girlfriends call up. And
you
wants to just hang out
every day.
Right.
Drunk every day, it's not acceptable. If you want to go out on a Friday and hang out with your girls, yeah, that's fine.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And whether you come home drunk or not, that's you're grown. Come home drunk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's good words, man. That's good words, and I appreciate that. I was just bringing that out there because I didn't know. Now that we got that one out the way, all right, let's go to the next point. Think about your whole relationship of being to this impending end. It's been nothing but frustration, hasn't it? If your marriage has been nothing but frustration. You can't seem to have any fond memories with your spouse at this time. Now, you've been married for a long time, but you can't remember the good times in your marriage. Even when they were sometimes good, you still feel bad about the marriage. What do you do to get through that? You can't remember fond memories about your relationship. And I'm rolling up to something here, guys. I'm rolling up to something here. So has that ever happened where you ever thought of, darn, when you sit down and you're by yourself on the couch and you're upset with your wife, those negative thoughts come through your mind? Why did I marry this person? Who did I marry? As Tone would say, I married the representative.
Well, that whole representative piece kind of works on both sides, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because, they would argue probably the same thing.
Yeah, but if you married this person and you finally trying to work it out, it gets to a point where you're like, ugh, I don't know how much more of this I could take.
Yeah.
That midlife crisis where you start thinking negative about things.
But I don't know if it's got much to do with the marriage itself. I think it's just your identity of you stop questioning some of the decisions that you made that have gotten you to where you are right now in life. And obviously marriage is one of them, you know. And then you start questioning the person that you're with.
And I think it gets more complicated when you have Tracy at the job.
Well, yeah, for sure, because Tracy don't help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tracy does not help.
Y'all rolling right into it, man. Right into it. That ball is just rolling right on down the aisle. Hit some pins in a minute. Yeah, I mean, when the midlife crisis comes, guess what else comes with it? All the negativity. Mm-hmm. It seems like it always jumps up at the same time. And when I mean negativity, I mean, just like you said, that Tracy, boys hanging out a little bit more, asking you, come on, let's go on trips. More drinks.
Let's go out.
Calling your name.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, you want to do less things with your wife, but you want to do more things of your own. That golf trip seems to become more proactive. That way you want to go out and hit that golf ball, then go home. And we have a
I don't know if that fits the category. Because, you know, we have our hobbies.
Yeah.
You know,
but your hobbies, yeah, but see, it does fit the category because you just said we have our hobbies. And sometimes in marriage, we give up some of those hobbies for the marriage, for the good of the marriage. We don't do them as much. Or we don't do them at all. We give it up.
Yeah, like me.
Right? And now you're going through the midlife and you like, in your mind, you're sitting there like, I gave up my stuff for this?
Yeah,
you understand where I'm going with this, Tony?
I kind of do. So
you know what I'm saying?
So you're saying that right now, the sacrifice may not add up.
The sacrifice may not add up. I'm here in this marriage. I'm coming home to an argument every day. There's something wrong every day. When I could just, you know, before I come home, it was great. I could go play golf and everything was beautiful. But now I'm coming home, I stop all that, and now I'm coming home to arguments every day. Why did I change my routine if it was going to get worse and then it was going to get better? I thought it was supposed to get better.
Okay, all right. I like that. So let's talk about what you just said. You thought it was supposed to get better.
You thought it was supposed to get better. That's correct.
And what gave you that thought?
Because
where does that thought come from? That it just gets better with time?
Yes. For me, that's what it's
like.
Wine,
you put it in the cellar, you let it chill for about 5 years, and it tastes better for some odd reason.
Mm. Isn't that how marriage is supposed to be?
No. I don't think it is. And because, you know, we talk about it all the time, people change. People's expectations change. People's tastes change. Mine have the last 5 years. You know, the person that when I got married, I'm not that same person. Maybe I should be, but I'm really not, you know. And I'm not saying that in a negative way, you know. I want to be better. I don't think that I was, you know, I was like a husband in training at that point. But now I want to at least, you know, have some of it. I just want to be better at this point. So, again, I don't think that, you know, we're all the same. I think that we change.
So what about your wants? Do those wants change? Your feelings change?
Well, yeah. Well, let's just take a typical marriage situation where you were single and now you're married. You were hanging with your boys. You was hitting the club. You was hitting the happy hour. You was going out shopping for yourself, buying suits, ties, clothes, whatever, cars, whatever you could, whatever your pocket could bear. And now you got another person that comes with a whole set of rules, well, not rules, but needs and, you know, compromise and all these other things. You know, so you may have wanted to still hang out, but now you got to make a choice. Am I going to hang out with the fellas or I'm going to be a married man? You see what I'm saying? So, it changes, you know, just like the commercial says, life happens. You know, you got to either roll with it or you'll be sitting there thinking it's supposed to get better and it doesn't.
Right. So, Don, do you think that the decision of making that change is a crisis? I mean, that goes in the crisis category because now you got to make a decision. I got to give up my friends for my wife.
Yes.
It shouldn't even be a decision. But don't we make it a decision?
So your wife makes it a decision. I mean, I think going
back
to what
she
said earlier.
I mean, she puts it out there. She says, hey, I should be first. But
yeah.
I think, and let's just be honest, it took me a minute to figure out why I had to get rid of my boys. Why I had to get rid of my boys? They my boys. I've been with them since day one.
But listen to what you just said. This is what you just said. And believe me, and I'm not saying this because I got the answer, because I really don't. I just happen to know this one.
Mm-hmm.
You said she says to you, she should be first. Right?
Yeah, and you always think that she's always first now. So it
no,
shouldn't
but
be a problem.
Listen,
your
no,
mindset.
You're right, but you said she tells you she should be first.
Yes.
Now, when it gets to that point, how bad has it really gotten when she has to tell you she needs to be first?
Wow.
That's good. That's good
you
talk.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, because I'm just saying.
She ain't just going to come in day one, guess what, I got to be first. You're going to be like, I married the wrong chick.
But, hey, I'm tired of
she ain't even warm up to it. You know, just jump right in. So after some bumps and bruises and some alienation or whatever you want to call it, some you hanging out, you just doing your thing, and then she has to pull you to the side and say, look, I'm your wife, I'm supposed to be first.
That's tough on some men.
Who you
talking? That's tough on some men. So when they make that decision, do they look back upon that decision later on? Because I'm getting ready to hit you with the right hook right quick.
So I got my guards up.
Right,
protect yourself at all times.
Yeah. Mayweather will catch you. You catch the flip. But what about her feelings? We know that we're supposed to make changes for the better. But sometimes aren't our wives a flip-flopper? As the political folks used to say. They tell you one thing and do another.
Yeah. That's what we're talking about, though. That's exactly what you're talking about. Things
you
change.
And you want us to do it, and we do it, and then you go back and say, it's okay for you to do it.
Things change. I mean, even in my marriage, there's some things that my wife was like, no, this is the way it has to be. This is it. And then 2 months later, it's something totally different. Well, I don't like that no more. I don't like that. Now it's this way. You know what I mean? And I got to keep up. Guess what? I mean, you know, I could be the same guy. Because sometimes, you know, I don't like certain things or it's boring now. So let's do something else. And you may not want to go back to that.
And I'm bringing this up because we're rolling down that bowling alley. We get ready to hit all 10 pins. But we got 10 different situations that we got to get through to make sure that we knock all 10 pins down. And the first one is building up to the point where we get to that midlife crisis. And that's what we're doing right now, is building up to that point. We're going through all the marriage issues that gets you to the point where you're having a midlife crisis. You're dead, smack dead in it. All right, so some of these questions may seem a little odd, but we're building up to the climax here. Now, listen, her feelings is totally different. And her frustrations about marriage may make you want to separate from all the madness. The crying, the nagging, the constant questions from your spouse is getting you down. So you're going to have to try to feel you need to withdraw emotionally from it, don't you? That constant nagging, coming home, the nagging, the crying, the why haven't you done this? Why aren't we here? You're not a man. How do you get away from that? Or do you accept that?
I think some guys accept that that's how marriage is. You know, that it's just part of it. And, no, it's not comfortable and, you know, we're not happy with it, but I think that we just kind of accept it and just like it is what it is and really don't have an idea of how to, you know, get out of that rut, you know, that same old, same old. But you know, I think some guys just accept it.
Well, I know how some guys do. They'll go out there and get them a nice big old Harley and some leather pants, and they put on an earring. Say, I'm going to ride my bike. Is that not true? I mean, have you not seen guys who get to the point in their midlife where they say, I'm going to get me a bike? And you ask them, you say, man, why are you getting you a bike? I got to get out and get some air, feel the breeze. I always wanted one. So it's something that they always wanted, but they never had the heart, the money, or the time to do it. They went up and get married. They go through all this crying, this nagging for years and years and years. And you know what they say? I ain't going to leave her, but I'm going to go ride.
And you notice all of those guys who have Harleys are like Tony's age.
Mm-hmm. you snuck one in on me. It took me a second to get.
Well, you don't see no guys like my age riding a Harley. I mean, it's I'm not saying that it doesn't happen, but it's rare. You know, it's rare.
Why you say my age? Ain't nobody my age riding Harleys either.
No, I don't know, man. I don't know. They riding them race bikes now. They riding those race bikes. But I got that because I was watching them. I don't know if y'all saw that movie, Wild Hogs.
No.
Yes, I saw it.
This is what all the comedians and John Travolta and
Martin Lawrence.
Yeah. And they were going through a midlife crisis, and they wanted to take a trip. The guys wanted to get together, buy a bike, and hit the road. One husband's wife was a nagger. He felt like, you know, she made the rules. He had to ask her everything every time he had to go somewhere. Where he had to lie to his wife just so he can go where he wants to go. Have you ever had to do that? You'd be like, all right, baby, I'm going to to John's house down the street when you know you're going down to the sports bar so you want to watch the game on the big screen. But if you told your wife you were going to the sports bar, that's an argument. So you would lie, a little white lie, just so that you would have to withstand the wife's nagging and thrashing. Has anybody had to go through that?
I mean, yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, it is what it is. Yes, I've done it in my, you know, not recently, but in my past.
I mean, but you had to do it. And it wasn't because.
But I didn't really have to do it, though. See, that's the crazy part.
Well, we never have to really do it, but we have to do it. You just want to go. You know it's going to start an argument that day.
Yeah, yeah.
So men do things out of logic just so they can avoid arguments, right? So have midlife crisis where just to avoid some things in our marriage.
But isn't there like an underlying issue there that needs to be addressed that probably hasn't been when you got to do that?
And hopefully we can find out what that underlying issue is tonight.
Because that's kind of like a pattern, I would think, you know, of saying you're going to be one place and you're actually going to be somewhere else. There's a pattern. That's not, I'm not going to say it's normal, but it shouldn't have to be.
It shouldn't, but isn't that part of the man's handbook?
Yeah, but, you
know. The single man handbook?
The single man's handbook. But yeah, but you should also be in a situation where you can say, you know what, this is what I'm going to do because it makes me happy. You know what I mean? And a lot of times we may not be putting in our quality time. And that's the only time I could think that my wife would give me an issue, that I would have to do something like that, is if I'm not putting quality time in with her. Because if she's getting her time, I shouldn't have no issue going to watch the game down at the bar.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I shouldn't have no issues. But if I'm always at the bar, you know, and then one night I really need to go to the bar because my team is playing, the rival, whatever the rival team is, I really need to go. You know what I mean? So I'm going to say, you know, I got to go help my friend move so I can be at the game.
Yeah, and then you say, oh, on the way back home, oh, yeah, we stopped by the bar and watched the game. So,
I mean, well, after it's done, who cares? At that point, it's done. You don't watch the game, you know.
Well, I mean, you said something that was very important.
Yeah.
There's some underlying issues in marriages that we try to avoid, so instead of bringing them up and getting them out the way. So we make an issue worse where we rather rely and do other things just so we can have enjoyment than to fix the main issue at home and have that enjoyment all the time.
What's the main issue?
For that single moment.
But you said it again. What's the main issue?
Yeah, and each marriage is different, you know. I don't know, you know. I don't know if I'd be able to explain everybody's issue here tonight. Hopefully, somebody will bring up theirs and we can discuss it if it ever happened to them. But that's one of the things that affects a midlife crisis versus marriage, is that we never get through those underlying issues. So we still have those things that we want to do. Now, I said earlier that some of this, that this midlife crisis has knocked on my door. And I'm going to tell you what it is. I got this intuition. I got this feeling. I'm having this fun. We went camping this past weekend, right? And the first thing we did is we went fishing. And I love to fish. And then I kept seeing all these boats go by. So the next thing I said is, baby, I want a boat.
You should have said that.
Where are you going to keep the boat? I'm going to keep it in the yard. How are you going to do that? You can't afford it. And good question, good conversation. I know the truth. She's telling the truth. But I don't care. I'm like, I work this hard. On the weekends, every once in a while, I want to go fishing, and I would rather go fishing on my own boat. But the conflict had already started at the beginning. Right when I said it, now I have to put a plan together to show her that, yes, the boat's going to go right here. It's not going to affect you driving in and out of the driveway. It's not going to mess up this beautiful yard that we've put together. The home association is not going to be on our case because we got a boat in the yard and all this stuff. But that's one of my midlife crises. I want a boat. I don't want that motorcycle. Y'all can have that. But I did see a guy who just got him a motorcycle at a Goes Our Church. And now, instead of him and his family going to church together like they used to, one car driving to church. Now she has to drive the car to church, and he drives his motorcycle to church. Is that a problem?
Yep. No comment.
No comment.
Because I might know him.
But it was odd. I just saw this, and I started laughing because I was just like, wow. This is a midlife crisis. He wants to get his, he wants to get his motorcycle. He got this nice little Harley sitting out there, and he rolled that thing everywhere. Hey, baby, you know.
They go to somebody's house party or something. It's like, I'll meet you over there on the bike.
Yeah, I'll meet you over at the house.
Yeah,
I'm riding my bike.
Yeah, that's crazy. But you know what? That just says it. I'm a no comment again. No comment.
I'm being real, man. This is really funny to me because it's odd how that one change can affect the marriage.
Yeah.
Because now we're talking about we're not going together as a family to church. I'll meet you there.
Yeah.
But you better be there on time.
We'll see. I will say this, that resentment can set in. The resentment, you know, and that's when you hear your wife refer to that bike, you know, or it could be that sports car or whatever it is, or those golf clubs or whatever it is that's your, you know, your midlife crisis tool when you abuse it like that.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why wouldn't you go as a family if you've been going as a family?
Right.
If the whole family can't fit on a bike, then you got to use another mode of transportation.
I can understand that. And I'm just bringing up situations that I have seen, man. This is true stories. I've seen it.
It happens.
It happens. And you can tell it goes under the midlife crisis category.
But I think T-Hawk mentioned something, you know, key there is that it shouldn't, I mean, it's 6 other days in a week, you know, that you can ride the bike or whatever, or, you know, even before or after, you know, certain events. But when it becomes a distraction or, you know, stuff that's taking you away from the family, that's when it can be, you know, detrimental. And, you know, when it, just like you say, you really wanted that boat, and I'm assuming that, you know, if you get the boat, you're going to spend a lot of time on the boat because the boat is not cheap, and you want to, you know, get your money's worth. You just don't want to just look at it in the yard or whatever. So, and a lot of times, your wife, your kids may or may not want to go, and you're like, well, you know, you end up out on the boat, you know, either by yourself or with your friends or something, and you know, that it can become, you know, problematic in that sense. You know, when it takes away from some of those that family time that you had before, you know, that you didn't have before the boat or the motorcycle.
Hey, man, I believe it because I see myself getting that boat, but in the boat that I want. It's going to be a fishing boat. But, I mean, they have all types of boats. They had a cruising and the boat where you can have with your family and still do some fishing. So there's other options out there for me. But sometimes this is what I want gets in the way. And that's my whole point about that situation is when that I want gets in the way, how does that affect the family?
Well, let me ask you a question. You said you're getting a fishing boat. So is there anything different about a family boat and a fishing boat? Can you fish off a family boat?
Yeah, you can fish off the family boat.
I mean, you can fish off any boat, right?
You don't have all the gadgets that you might. You know, you don't have the double whales where you can keep the fish in.
But you can install that, right?
You got to get on another chair. Or you got to move a chair.
But they have boats that have those chairs where you still have seats for other people, I would think.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, I'm just saying, a situation like that, you can kill two birds with one stone. Like, if I were to buy a Harley, right, I would buy a Harley with the big seat where my wife can ride on the back. You know what I mean? I wouldn't get a crotch rocket where it's just me, even though she can ride on the back. But it would have to be something big enough where we can take road trips and everybody's comfortable.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're going to have to get you a gold wing for that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, I'm just saying, I would have to do that only because, I mean, you got to, if you want her to be involved in it and not give you a lot of stress, you know, then, you know. I'll tell you a story once.
All right.
Took my wife down, and I think most of y'all know the story. Took my wife down a couple times to watch the pros play golf. And she walked 4 hours, 4 or 5 hours, you know, long time. And then after that, she never asked me again to go, ever. Like, she probably will never want to go to play golf or go towards any, because that is not for her. But I laid it out in the beginning. I said, come on, let's go. So we probably went about 3 or 4 times. And she just said, you know, I'm not doing that anymore. That's not my thing. I'm not doing all that walking just to watch somebody hit a ball. You see what I'm saying? So she took herself out of it. So now when I say I'm going, she'd be like, all right, have fun. You know? And if you get a motorcycle or whatever it is, and your wife may want to ride in the beginning, but if that's not her thing, but at least you included her from the beginning, she'll be like, okay, go have fun. This is not something that I want to do with you.
And what about those folks that they're cautious about midlife crisis, and they know they're going through one, and then there's some things that they want, so they buy two, his and hers. I've seen some, you know, they get his and her Harley. And expects her to ride when he goes ride.
Mm. That's real talk.
Is that something that can slow down midlife crisis? Is always doing things in pairs. What you do for yourself, you do for your wife. And other vice versa. What she does for you, you know, for herself, she does for you too. So that now you can experience her emotional joy and your emotional joy at the same time.
That's actually a great point, because you can actually, like, if one person, I mean, with Harleys, it's not, you know, I know women that are into Harleys, so, but, I mean, you could actually open up some new avenues in your marriage that you've never explored before, because you do have to go through that process of, you know, or at least one person will have to go through the process of getting their motorcycle license and everything, and you know, and that's, you actually build in quality time that you didn't have before just because of one person's quote-unquote midlife crisis. You know, so even with the Harley example, it's like, you know, instead of getting one, you know, where you're riding alone, you know, or you're riding together, you know, to functions and everything, and that, you know, that can actually, you know, reconnect, you know, some places, and, you know, you're spending that time where you wouldn't have otherwise if, you know, but, I mean, it costs. You know, you got to buy, I don't know if y'all ever bought one Harley, but they're not cheap. But, I mean, you talk about buying two, it is pretty pricey. But, I mean, is it worth it, you know? But, I mean, before that, I think you have to consult with your wife to find out if she would be even interested in, you know, riding with you or riding a motorcycle, period, you know, but in some cases, you know, you could just open up some new QT, you know, with the wife that you wouldn't have had otherwise if you hadn't bought two motorcycles. Or, you know, the brother said the case about the boat. You know, it's like, you know, you may only go boating once every couple of years, but now that you own your own boat, you know, your wife is pulling at you like, let's go fishing or let's just go hang out on the boat. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, that's good talk.
You know, you said something key right now. I don't even know if you caught it. In reference to asking your wife, is that something that she would want to do with you?
Mm-hmm.
Do and I'm just gonna throw a question out.
Mm-hmm.
Do we impose certain things on our wives because we like to do them?
Yeah. Listen, man. When you look up imposed in the dictionary, have
got a picture
right up there in front of
you. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's one reason is we had this conversation and that I think we even had a show on it on overcommit. Me, growing up, I love to do a lot of things.
But I don't even know if it's over being overcommitted. I don't even think that's in the same category because overcommitted is just being overcommitted. But when you say, okay, I want to do X, Y, Z, whether my wife wants to do it or not, she's just going to have to roll with me.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I think that's another resentment category. That's another item that could be, you know, considered a resentment. You know, we always have to go and, you know, or fishing or golfing or, you know, whatever it is. Because he wants
so when it gets to the point where you want to do anything that he wants to do, but he don't want to do nothing I want to do.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I get that all the time.
Oh, I'm better.
Yeah.
I get it all the time. I ain't gonna lie.
I get it too, man.
I'm probably getting it right now. I don't even know it.
Trust me, man. We all in that boat.
But I think
we got to have this call. We got to figure out how way we can fix in and blend in to.
I think men don't think about it from that standpoint, you know, whereas it's like, you know, she's, you know, maybe she is doing everything or being compromising with you, but when it comes to her, you're like, no, you know, I mean, you're not. And even if it's something not necessarily on the level or the scale of a midlife crisis, but she may get the perception that, you know, when it comes to her and the things that she wants to do, you're kind of dismissive, you know, whereas, you know, she may not be totally 100% on board with what you want to do, but at least she'll, you know, like the brother said, she'll make an attempt, you know, to walk with you for 4 hours or whatever the case may be. And but a lot of times, you know, we men, we don't look at it the other way around. It's like, you know, can I be more compromising, you know, when it comes to she wants to go look at curtains or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. And again, I've been guilty of it. Y'all know it. I ain't gonna front. I've been guilty of it.
Yeah. 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 Listen, it's 10 o'clock and yes, we talked about cars and Harleys and things we want to do. But let's get a little bit more serious now. Let's talk about that midlife crisis when it comes to your career, your job, how it affects your marriage. And I use myself as an example. I'm at a point in my career where you get sick and tired of doing the exact same thing. Right? So now that you get sick and tired of doing the exact same thing, you want to do something different. You always want to have a dream to do something. So you're ready to take on that dream. Okay? So you say, I want to start my own business. I want to do this. I want to write a book. I want to start my own firm. I want to start my own non-profit organization. You know, these things that a lot of us want to do, but we've so built up in our career, finances, and living a certain way that now you're going to say, I'm going to just do it. This is the right time to do it. Because I don't know if if you'll find any time that is really the right time. You just got to pick a time and say, I'm all in.
Yeah.
But how do you do it? Do you say, you come home one day and say, baby, I started my business. Or do you think this is what I want to do, baby? Are you down?
I think that's a mistake.
And then, you know, get the blessing from her before you go out here and do your business.
Yeah, I think that's what you do because, as the brother was saying, you know, you have the resentment creep in. But, you know, also, you have to be mindful that, you know, a lot of businesses fail. I mean, sure, there may be grand ideas and, you know, a great niche in the market, but, you know, they still, for whatever reason, may not be successful for it. So I think that the idea of quitting your job and starting a new venture, especially in a marriage, is very risky. And you definitely want to have your, you know, your wife's buy-in with that, especially when it comes to you're going to literally quit your job and, you know, just start your own business where you just took out one income just like that. And furthermore, you're going to have expenses building up the business to where it needs to be. So, you know, ideally, I would say that you would try to do both. You know, to a certain example, you try to build a business part-time, you know, until the business is so successful where you can't do both. Mm. You know, you can't go to work full-time and, you know, your side hustle or whatever you want to call it has become a full-time, full-fledged operation. So I think that's how you do it. And number one, you definitely want to get your wife's input because the wife has discernment that, you know, we may not have, and they, you know, they may have different avenues, different approaches where we may never have thought of as far as making the business that more successful. And just getting that input, you know, I think is invaluable. You know, but definitely not, you know, coming home or just over a period of time, you know, just getting so fed up with your job where you do just do something stupid and, you know, say I quit and walk out, you know, and hand in your notice and come home and tell your wife that, you know, for the last 6 months I just hate that job and I ain't really been talking to you about it, but I just hate it and I quit today. I mean, your wife is going to be like, I need your boss's number because you're stupid. You know, you've hit your head or something today and I need to call him because you need to get your job back, you know, so. I mean, I think, you know, to your question, Mr. Host, I think that definitely you need to consult with the wife, and that's a deep conversation. And
yeah.
But it's not, you know, it's something I think that you can work on. But you may also have a situation where, you know, she responds like, honey, that ain't going to work. You know, that just ain't going to work. And that's, you know, that sometimes can be the best advice.
Yeah.
Can save us from, you know, going off on the deep end or jumping over a cliff when she just responds, you know what, that's just not going to work.
But now, it's saying that. That's 100%. But how do you feel? You're like, this is the right, you know, this is what you want to do. When is the right time? The right time? Do I have to wait till I'm 80 years old and retired? Because we want to live the safe life, or are you ready to take a risk? Because everything that you do, there's risk factors with it. Are you the scared family? I just want to make sure we're comfortable. Or are you somebody that says, listen, I don't mind taking risks. You know, we only live once. I'm down, if you down, let's keep it moving.
I don't know about the whole
type of woman.
Yeah, but I don't know about the whole we only live once expression when you're talking about livelihood of your family. I don't know if that one applies.
Okay.
You know, I mean, you know, if we're going to go and, you know, take tequila shots, you know, 7 or 8. Yeah, we only live once. You know what I'm saying? Let's go bungee jumping. We only live once, you know.
Right.
But, you know, but as far as that, but again, we need to, and I think a lot of times as men, we know that, you know, we're the head of the household and we got to bring that paper home.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we take it upon ourselves to make decisions without including them. You know,
yeah.
And ultimately at the end, they, you know, they'll probably give in because you've already done it. All right, you know, but you don't want to be standing there with pie on your face either when it doesn't work, like Rodney said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's always best to have, you know, a joint, you know, consensus, a joint between you and her. Y'all sat down, you mapped it out. Here's the game plan. This is what could happen. This is what might happen. This is, you know, all the pros and cons of it,
mm-hmm.
you know, as a partner, because that's your partner.
Yeah.
And if she says, yay, I'm with you, you get that blessing. That's when you move forward. But if you don't have that blessing, then I think it's not time.
And I met some folks on the, we went out of town, and, you know, you get to meeting folks, and they say, hey, what you doing? And one couple said, listen, you know, I was in the consulting world. My wife was a realtor. She had her own business. She talked to me, and I ended up getting in the business. And voila, money was great. But because of the economy, it failed. And they failed. And they said they had 5 jobs before it failed, before they found the one that they worked collectively as a family together, that they're booming right now. But they did it together. So it works out either way. There is some cases where, you know, that risk factor is going to hurt you, but if you keep at it, and if that's your mission, then it should always succeed at the end, shouldn't it? Just give up because of the risk factor.
I mean, yeah, but again, there's risk in everything.
Yeah.
Right.
But if you don't say, you know, if again, you don't want to be out there on an island. And you don't have your wife's blessing, and now she's petrified.
Mm.
Because you don't know. I mean, you know, it's you got an idea now. Okay, I got this idea, and it's gonna work. You know, we ain't gonna have to work for a while. Once this thing blows up, we're gonna be good. You know, and she's used to a paycheck coming home every week, guaranteed check, or biweekly, or monthly, or whatever. And now that's not happening. You know, and you're like, okay, you know, it's gonna jump off. It's gonna jump off. I mean, you know, just like Rodney said, even to start something like that, you got to have 12 months in reserve. At least six. Not even six. I would probably say 12 months in reserve.
And do you know, like, what the repercussions would be if that thing fails and you didn't get her blessing?
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, it may be no coming back from that, because do you know how much she would bring that up in arguments, or, you know, and maybe y'all do get back on your feet. You just take a little detour and you know, get your old, like Tony said, get your regular paying gig back or whatever. You just took a diversion or whatever, but it's so problematic because she may not trust you anymore, you know, when it comes to your decision-making skills. And I know we know guys and see guys all the time that's like, yo, you know, honey, I got this new business venture. We're going to be living in Miami, you know, just follow me. And then it crashes. Then 6 months later or 6 weeks later, honey, let me tell you this new business venture we got. And your wife is looking at you like, dude, I mean, the last 8 that you told me about have been massive failures. And we're struggling because of your, you know, inconsistency. You know, you don't know which direction, you know, we're going, or what we're doing here. So I don't want to hear it. So, I mean, it could get into a whole deeper thing where she don't even trust you anymore to make the decisions for the direction and the vision of the family, because, you know, you just kind of just going whatever way the wind blows when it comes to mm-hmm. business ventures, and the, you know, what's in this week, you know, you're gonna jump on it and you're gonna be a millionaire, you know, whatever the case may be, and your wife's just not trying to hear that, because we know all the time that women need security.
Yeah,
you know, and that's the bottom line, is that they need financial security, they need personal security, but they don't want to, as the brother said earlier, they don't want to feel like they're out on an island. You know, like, man, you know, just nervous and scared. Like, what's going to happen? What does tomorrow bring? You know, because this guy, you know, I don't know when he's coming back, or, you know, how the business is going to flourish, or, you know. And you see it all the time, and it's unfortunate.
Yeah. And then, Rodney, there's the respect factor.
Yes.
Now they don't respect you as a leader of the household.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of the ill-advised decisions
mm-hmm.
that you're making, you know.
Yep.
It's like the trust. It leads to just there's no respect. I can't depend on you to do what you said you was going to do, and that's provide for this family. I mean, again, and that's the negative part of it. It may be successful. You may come out smelling like roses.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But it's risky if you don't have those blessings from them.
Yeah, and so when you're ready to take the rest of the family, you make sure you have those blessings.
You got to have the blessings, man.
Yeah, I mean, if it goes down, you go down together. And,
for sure.
You know, and it's got to be so many conversations. It can't just be, it has to be a number of conversations because, you know, it's possible that she'd be like, I ain't agree to that. You know, if you just have the one, you know, conversation, you know, so I think that it has to be developed and definitely talked out and communicated, and you really know that you're for sure on her buy-in, because if it goes down, it's like, you know, we go down together. You know, it is what it is. But I think you hope for the best, but expect the worst in any case. And like, you know, like brother said, I mean, it may be successful, but you got to think that it's probably, or it's not going to be successful for a while, you know, and it may catch on like wildfire, whatever it is you do. But you got to kind of plan that, you know, it's going to start slow. And I think that's what people make the mistake of doing. And that, you know, oh, we got this great idea and, you know, we put it out to market, to the masses tomorrow, and it's just going to blow up. And that happens so rare. And you look at the products that we have out, you know, on the market today where, you know, you look at the case of the iPhone, you know, today, you know, they're unveiling new products. They thought they were going to have an iPhone 5, you know, but, I mean, you look at that product, it's like it's so successful, and I don't even have an iPhone, but it's so successful. You know, their whole line of products is just major sellers, even in a down economy. They're still making good products and still doing good business, but it's so rare. You know,
yeah.
I mean, how many other? Yeah, and I think that's what we see the Apple, you know, but we don't see the orange company that failed last week or the banana company that didn't, you know, work out after 6 months, you know.
Exactly.
You know. And
I mean, Rodney, we ain't got to look no further. We can just look at household stress. We thought by this time we'd probably be, you know, have to have two calls, one on Tuesday, one on Thursday, because we have so many people calling in because the product is so great.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, the product is great.
Great.
We know that, but again, it's still a lot of work that's got to be done to get us to the next level. But again, we don't even know what the next level is.
Right.
All we know is we got to show up every week.
That's it.
You see, but luckily, this is not cost effective. I mean, I'm
not
saying
cost
this
prohibitive. Yeah.
Exactly.
You bring up a good point, Tom, because I mean, this is a business vision. You know, most of a midlife crisis or a thought from somebody that may not be a midlife crisis, but I'm putting it in the category just for this call, is that we have visions that we want to pursue.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this vision right here a couple of years ago took away your Tuesdays. And it's taken away your Tuesdays for the past year.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But what if that point was, at the beginning, your wife was cool with it, but then years and years down the line, she's not cool with it?
There you go.
Possible. And that's just what we talked about with buy-in. You know, yeah, you know, they might say, yeah, you know, I'm down. And then what happens if this thing becomes so successful that we're gone like 5-6 nights a week?
Yeah.
Flying across the country or whatever it is, that it just takes us away from, you know, it's just not one night, it's 5 or 6 nights. Then what? You know, like the host said, then, the wife is like, I didn't really sign up for 5 or 6 nights where you know, I don't see you.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I see you, you know, you, you're here 1 week and you're gone another week, or I just sign up just for Tuesdays.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. That's great. And then let's say you go through a downfall. And most people and most adventures that they do, even when it's riding or they get bored or they go through a depression stage. And now your spouse is saying, see, I told you it wouldn't work out.
Mm.
Or why are you so depressed? Or it's going to be all right. She's going to be on your side. But you feel like a failure because, you know, you tried this thing and you failed. Or it's not going the way you want to. How does that affect the marriage? You know, you tried this new venture and then it's not going the way you want. Well, I think, you know, it's just natural emotionally to get down.
But is that what people do? I'm kind of lost a little bit. Is that what people do during a midlife crisis, just start new ventures?
Yeah.
In some cases. You know, when
is that like a normal thing? I thought it was buying a sports car, you know, getting a motorcycle, you know, you know, something like that.
They just quit their job and be like, hey, I'm part of it.
Yeah, it's different, you know, dimensions of that. But I think, you know, generally speaking, you're exactly right. It is the boat, the car, you know, or I mean, it is the, you know, those type of things. That you know, that satisfies that, you know, that urge that they're feeling. And but in some cases, it's like, you know what, I've been working here for 25 years, and I've been wanting to start my own business, or I've been wanting to, you know, do, you know, whatever it is. And you know, like in my example, you know, I always wanted to be a music producer, you know, whatever, and that's totally put on hold. I don't even think about it anymore. You know, we talked about a few weeks ago about, you know, how, you know, does marriage make living out? I asked the question, does marriage make living out your dreams more difficult? And absolutely, in a lot of cases, it does, because you got to, you know, really put that on the back burner. And, you know, for me to just quit my job and say, you know, I really wanted to be a music producer, you know, so I quit, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to invest in some equipment and, you know, hope it's successful. You know, that's what, in some cases, some people do that because it's, you know,
That's that enjoyment that they look for.
Yeah, and you look at it in the example of the car or the boat or the, you know, the motorcycle, the Harley or whatever, and you look at it in a standpoint whereas, in your younger years, you're raising a family. You know, you're trying to save a little bit for your retirement. You know, you may be putting some kids through college or saving for college. But then you get to a point where the kids are, you know, out of the house, and then they go to college, and they graduate from college. And next thing you know, the kids are on their own, or maybe they're married or whatever. And you're like, you know what? What's stopping me from getting that boat or that car, you know, now? Whereas before, it was the college tuition payment or the daycare payment or saving for your or whatever it was, whereas now it's like, you know, I don't, what is stopping me? The only thing left that's stopping you from getting it is really your wife, you know, that's preventing you from, you know, going down to the lot, the boat lot or the motorcycle lot or the car lot and getting, you know, your toy. So that's your last, you know, whereas before it's like, you know, I can't really, you know, be riding a bike or going fishing because I got, you know, young kids or I got soccer practice or ballet or piano. Whereas now you ain't got none of that, you know, and you got, you know, the cash where you were putting out for all that stuff before, you know, and like the last is like, well, why shouldn't I? I deserve a boat.
Yeah.
You know, I've been working hard. My kids getting older.
You're right. Mm-hmm. But I have to bring this point up.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to be honest.
Yep.
We would not be here as African Americans if somebody didn't take a risk. And somebody's wife didn't say, you know what, you're putting our family in arm's way, but I know we need this as a culture, and you need to be, you know, people are looking up to you. So go ahead on and handle your business. Somebody has to take a risk on everything that we, in order for us to improve. The thing is that we know going in that sometimes risk can either harm the family or it can bring the family stronger together.
Yep.
We as head of households have to make the decision to make sure that it stays hard together and that no outside influences affect that.
Yeah, and I think that we cannot be risk averse. And what I mean by that is that there are some times where we do need to take risk. You know, for example, saving for your retirement. You have to, you know, put some money in the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
Or mutual funds or whatever you do. You cannot put it in a savings account. Yeah, I mean, you cannot go with government bonds and savings account, you know, for all of your retirement money. It's a portion of your retirement must be aggressive or moderately aggressive. So, you know, as head of households, we cannot be risk averse where it's like, no, you know, I don't want to do anything, you know, everything is just fine, then the job, I don't want to, you know, I mean, it is sometimes where you have to, you know, take some risk, but they have to be strategic and they have to be calculated, and you have to, as we said before, you have to get the wife's input on it. You know, because if it goes down in flames, it's like y'all go down together.
Yeah. I mean, in my example, I was thinking about, you know, Martin Luther King. I mean, let's just think about it. Here's a young man in his early 30s taking a major stand, but in a culture where death has to be considered in taking this stand.
Mm-hmm. And he absolutely risked his life and lost his life.
And so, you know, you have to go to the wife and say, "Listen, I'm going to do this. Are you with me?"
And what? And do we know today, was she with him?
Yeah, I mean, as far as I know, in every picture I saw, she was standing right beside him.
No,
but I don't know if that necessarily.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean,
that don't mean much.
Yeah, because I mean, just think about us today.
I mean, I don't know if there's a book out there that says that she wasn't with him or she disagreed with some of the things that was done.
Let's just you know, bring it on our street. You know, there was a cause out there where, you know, would cause us to receive death threats on a regular basis or assassination attempts. I mean, if you were to go to your wife and say, you know, this is what I want to do, I don't know how she, I mean, literally, if you could be taken out by you advocating for this cause, I don't necessarily know that she's going to be like, yeah, you know, I think me and the kids could get along if you get assassinated.
Well, yeah, but just think about it. Just think about it. President Obama had to go to Miss Michelle, first lady, and she making good money, lawyer. He making good money, lawyer. And he had to go to her and say, "Baby, I'm going to go and be a senator, a state senator." Who handle your business, state senator? "Baby, I'm going to go and be U.S. Congress senator." "Baby, go on, handle your business, I'm right there."
Yeah,
and everybody coming to you and say, "You know what, you could be president." "Baby, time out."
Here's what I'm getting from you, though, Patrice.
You know, I'm just saying that build up.
Yeah, but all that's fine and well. But what you said earlier, right? I mean, because all that's fine and well with the scenarios. What you said earlier is that sometimes, even if you don't get their blessing, you still got to handle your business.
Yeah.
And I think that I mean, is that the point that you're trying to drive home today?
Yeah.
Even
yeah,
if the wife says, "No, I don't agree with you," you still have to take a risk. As a head of household.
Yeah.
And I think that the bottom line is the head of household has the final say. Now, we've agreed that we do go to the wife for her input because it's invaluable. But the bottom line is you can either accept what she says and follow, you know, what she says and heed her advice and say, yeah, honey, you know, you're right. Or you can say, no, you know, I appreciate your advice, but I'm going to go another way.
I'm sure
and she has to respect that.
And you should respect hers. It should be the other way around. If she has some dreams that she may want to follow through on, you should be like, baby, I got your back. There's a lot of minority women business owners that sometimes I know their husbands have to say, all right, I'll pick up the slack, go ahead on and start your women minority-owned business.
Yeah, but I'll give you an example. My wife, if she could write for a living, that's what she would do. Now, most writers, it's not a lucrative. It can be lucrative, absolutely, but it's not a lucrative profession. So what I'm getting at is that, you know, she came to me, and if she came to me and said that, you know what, I really want to quit my job and I really want to write for a living. I mean, that's a conversation I would definitely entertain. But, I mean, some things would really have to change. And but it may come down to it. It's like, no, honey, you cannot quit your job. Or I'm advising you. I mean, you're an adult, but I'm advising you not to quit your job because, no. So even when it comes to our wife's dreams, you know, we can't necessarily just say that we're going to jump on board. I think that it goes both ways that we'll, you know, we'll hear what the quote-unquote dream is or the business. You know, we'll hear them out, but not necessarily saying that, yeah, you know, we'll jump on board. And I think that, you know, the wife is the same way. And I think that's what we need. We don't need a yes person. Or, you know, as we had a show many moons ago called The Pushover, you know, whereas you just like, well, this is what I'm thinking, honey. And she like, yes, sir, let's do it. You know, we don't want that. We want somebody to say, eh, have you thought about this? Or what about if this happens? Or have you gone this route? We want somebody, that's why we're going to them. That's why we married them as a compliment, you know, to sort of, you know, to balance us when we do have these ideas. Because some of them absolutely are crazy. Some of them are just like, well, we need some reining in. And she's just like, you need to really rethink that because this could happen, that could happen. And it's like, oh, yeah, I never thought about that. Let me not even. You know, so I think that it's key that's why we get married, so we can have somebody, we can have somebody that has our best interests at heart, you know, the family's best interests as well as our own personal interests, because as the host said earlier about, you know, if it fails, then you go into state of depression and, you know, all of those things. And, you know, you could possibly never come out of that by that one decision you made. So I think that, you know, both ways when it comes to living out your dreams or going through a midlife crisis and these things, it boils down to, you know, communication, as we say all the time. That's what the bottom line is, communication. Got to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the major midlife crisis that we haven't talked about is, you know, getting a younger woman. You know, when you've been married 30, 40 years, I haven't, but, you know, you do see it where the man trades in his 50-year-old for two 25-year-olds or whatever, you know.
Two?
Yeah.
Double up?
Yeah, they got Viagra now, so he can have it.
Yeah, that was ready to say, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
double down, huh?
One of the things that we need to get, it is 10:30, so we had a grown folk hour.
Yeah.
Is that we would get ready to get to it, and Rodney opened up the gates. We got knocked down about 8 of the pens already. But now let's talk about it. When sex, it's just sex, and it's no emotions in it with the wife. That crisis has that man. That midlife crisis says, you know, I've still got this sexy body. I still got it. Let me go out here and see if I still got it. Let me see if I still, my game is still on.
Mm-hmm. And especially,
affect the marriage.
Yeah, and especially if she's going through menopause, if she's going through the changes.
Yeah.
You know, the bed sheets might get a little cold. That's what they say. I don't know. You know, I haven't yet experienced that, so I can't speak on it firsthand. But, you know, and then, you know, you start dabbling in your boy's Viagra prescription or whatever, and it's like, man, I can handle 225-year-olds, you know, with that, you know, with this little blue pill. So, but, I mean, that's the reality is that, you know, folks, man, you know, and especially when the kids are gone and you're sitting there, and maybe it's not a Harley that you want. Maybe it's not a boat. Maybe it's not a Corvette, fancy, you know, sports car. Maybe it's just like the whole say, you want to get on out there and see if you still got it. And you, I mean, at this point, you're a catch because you don't have no little kids running around. You know, you're at the highest point of your earning potential, you know, at that point, you know, when you get up there. So, I mean, you got plenty of money. You know, your expenses should be low. Your house is either paid for or close to paid for. So, probably got a couple cars that are paid for, you know. So, I mean, and that's a catch, you know what I mean? So, you know, to a 25-year-old, I mean, it's just fun times, you know.
But how does that affect the marriage, though? You going out there looking for 25.
Well, you know how that's going to
affect the marriage.
Yeah, it's going to be a problem.
All right. I mean, but, you know, why does that even come up in the picture? If the picture is always, you know, I married you for better, for worse.
Yeah, but Mr. Host, we see it all the time, you know, where folks, soon as the kid walks across the stage, they're in divorce court.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, whether it be high school diploma or college degree, you see it all the time where she's like, woof, you know, all right, I'm leaving. Not. You know, it's like, I've been waiting for this. You know, they probably got the 25-year-old. Yeah, they probably got the 25-year-old waiting in the wings. So, you know, we see it all the time because over time, you know, when you're raising kids, you know, when you're, you know, climbing the career ladder, you know, and all of these things that we go through in life, we lose the intimacy. You know, the intimacy is lost in the shuffle if you don't make it a point, you know, to keep the fire burning. And, you know, that's what happens. So you get, it's like, man, you know, 25 years, and then you're pulling the plug on it because the marriage has been dead and cold for 15 years or whatever, just waiting on Kiki to get across that stage.
Yeah.
You know, and then once that happens, it's like I'm free, you know.
And then once you hear that word free, oh, man. There used to be a song called The Return of the Mac. You know, this guy gets free, he's away from his home, he doesn't have all that pressure and all that, and it's Return of the Mac.
Yeah, and he got a blue pill in his pocket this time.
And he got a blue pill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, and a checkbook.
And a couple credit cards.
For sure. Nothing's free when you're trying to be Return of the Mac.
Uh-huh. Mm. Mm-hmm. But listen, we talked about this earlier tonight,
mm-hmm.
where we said, well, maybe you do a his and hers.
Right.
What if your midlife crisis is, baby, let's go to these little swinger clubs.
Wow.
Let's go to these little sex venues.
Wow.
And enhance our sexual activity.
Wow.
Go, you know, they have these little sex clubs you go to, and, you know.
And you know, that's a great question, Mr. Host. And, you know, literally, you see the people that do that, they're like Tony's age. I mean, really, you don't see cats my age into swinging. You know what I mean? I mean, for the most part. You see the folks that are, you know, established and in that midlife range, age range. You know what I mean? I'm just saying.
The people my age got guts and beer bellies. We ain't taking them off in front of no strangers.
And the people that age, they don't care anyway, man. You
right.
Get these little.
They're just ready to get down.
Yeah, and they got these results where you can go over the weekend and. Man, you see all this weird stuff, and you be like, man, people don't really go there. But people actually really go to these things.
Absolutely.
And they seem that, you know, maybe they put on the front that they like it.
Mm-hmm.
And their marriage is not affected. Because they both have an agreement. You know, they go to these things, they may just go and watch and then come home and then do their thing.
Yeah, they watching the first few times and then they getting in on the action the next time.
Right. So, would that be a midlife crisis of, bringing folks into your bedroom?
Absolutely. That's a crisis.
That's a real crisis right there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a real crisis.
Because we've seen it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all probably know some that have done it.
Yeah, y'all do. That's in y'all's age range.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
but
that, you know what though, man, that's another one of those things, man, where it's like, you know, some of us have wives that are just nice. They love their husband and they'll do whatever.
Push
over. You know what I mean? Just put the pushover spouse. We've been there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And a situation like that, you know, to me that's borderline disrespectful. When you
yeah.
was that old, you've been in your marriage that long, and then you say, come on, let me share you now.
Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm.
Let's share each other. I mean, when you get to that point, you've already been to the circus, been to the parade, you got T-shirts. You've done, you know, you're supposed to, all those wild oats, they're supposed to be done already. And then when you get to a certain age, now you want to start swinging?
Mm.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
That's crazy.
That's crazy. Now, wait a minute. What about this pornography? Now, is that just a daily thing, or would that be considered crazy?
For some, that's a daily thing, you know, but that doesn't wait till the midlife.
No.
But I mean, that could absolutely lead to, you know, especially when you're older and in the midlife and your wife is not really responding to you, you know, the way that she used to or whatever the case may be. But, you know, pornography, you know, can lead you to the strip club or can lead you to jumping on Craigslist for the jump off or, you know, sleeping with prostitutes or interacting with prostitutes. I mean, that could absolutely, you know, lead you down some ways that, you know, you may get there and you finish up. It's like, wow, how did I get here sleeping with Hazel the hooker? I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it all started just a little peek, you know, in the basement. Wife is asleep. It's like, let me just check out. And the next thing you know, bam, little chat window come up. Hey,
mm-hmm.
What are you doing? You know, I'm right in your neighborhood. What? Really? What? Yeah, you can come on over right now and get some. You know, all you got to do is just get in your car, tell your wife you're going to the grocery store.
And bring your checkbook.
And bring your checkbook.
Hey. It's 10:45, and I got to say it.
Yeah.
Midlife crisis.
Mm-hmm.
When the man is ready to go to the corner. For the oil, because he's not.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
I'm being specific. I mean, let's just forget that.
I don't know if that's a midlife crisis. That can happen. That's timeless. That can happen at any point during the marriage.
and now, corner. You can go to the massage parlor.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Good Lord. That's just wild, man. That's just.
And these young girls right now are so crazy. Dale, you ain't got to even go to the massage parlor to get it. Straight up. Straight up co-worker ready to do the do.
Oh!
Oh, you done brought it back up, man.
Wow. Mm-mm-mm. And Tracy know how to get you. You know, she know what to wear.
Yeah.
You know, and know how to talk to you.
Yeah, she'll hook a brother up.
Wow.
Solid right quick. Do me solid right quick. Home life ain't too good. I just, you know, help me out.
Oh, wow, man. Wow.
Mm-hmm. But I got something, Mr. Host. I got something, Mr. Host. And I don't think we've touched on it, but it's a reality. And we talk about midlife and crisis. And that is the death of your parents.
Hmm.
And how that can bring on a period of deep depression or grief. And to get out of that, somebody literally goes crazy. You know, somebody's like, you know what? Mama died. And as we said earlier, you know, I've got to live. You know, I got to just live. You only live once, you know. So I'm gonna get that boat. You know, I'm gonna get that Harley now. I mean, coming out of that, out of the death of a parent,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is around the midlife in normal situations, to come out of that. You can have a crisis where outside of the parent dying, everything would have been quote-unquote normal. You know, you would have went to the midlife and then eased on into your old age and everything would have been fine. But you don't know how that's gonna hit somebody. You know, we all know that, you know, we're not on here forever. And, you know, tomorrow's not promised. We all already know that. But, and we expect, you know, to outlive our parents, you know, but what happens when it does? And either your parents or your wife's parents, and the individual really doesn't come back from that. I mean, it's just really is just in a deep, deep just state of grief. Mm-hmm. And to come out of that is only to just act foolish and just act crazy and just do all the things that, you know, we've been talking about tonight. That under normal circumstances, that individual probably would never even think of doing.
Wow. And that depression area is what was going to kill them, is because nobody, if your spouse hasn't gone through it, how can they help?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. I have one parent, you know, set of parents.
Mm-hmm. Or look at it this way. Look at the state of the economy today. You know, the older the folks in the midlife, they may not move as fast or may not can pick up the new rules and everything, or the new software that's being implemented, or the new technology, or whatever the case may be. And, you know, the employers say, you know what, we're just, we have these younger people that we can pay less, and, you know, you're at the top of the pay scale, and got a little health issues, you know, in your old age, and, you know, we're just going to go ahead and we'll give you a nice severance package, and you can go on home. We don't need you anymore. And then crisis sets in. You know, that job that you went to for 25, 30 years, and now you're at home. Now you don't really have to worry about money. You know, they gave you a nice severance, and, you know, you'd save for retirement. But crisis sets in. Because they say, we don't really need you anymore. You know, you're no use to us anymore.
Yeah, that's the depression when somebody lets you down, lets you go.
Yeah. And they let you go because we don't, you know, it's they in this economy, they keep the folks they need. You know, they let go of the deadwood. You know, so, I mean, you.
Yeah, but you know that going in because you've seen it happen to other people.
Yeah.
I mean,
but when it happens.
Yeah, but when it happens, yeah, I got you.
Yeah, when it happens, it's like, how do you, I mean, how do you.
When it happens to you.
Yeah, that could take you into something that's like, whoa.
Well, then that brings up another point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of the things we still got time that I wanted to discuss,
mm-hmm.
that last pin is how you 40, 50 years old, now all of a sudden you know, you get on drugs. When all your life you know to say no to drugs. But that depression is so bad.
Mm-hmm. Or alcohol.
You
or
had
alcohol.
Yeah, alcohol.
The alcohol starts
sleeping
and
pills,
starts into other things.
Prozac.
Yeah. Pain medication.
Pain medication.
Viagra.
But I mean, but one of the things is that in midlife, you're trying to figure out how do you get addicted to this stuff when you know better.
Yeah. How do you fall prey to it? You know, and all your years, you know, you're like, I ain't messed with that stuff. But then in your midlife, you're like, you know what? Let me have some of that. Let me try some. Let me hit some of that. You know, let me drink some.
Well, I mean, you know, I will say this. If you've never smoked weed, ever, and you get to a responsible age where you don't have to worry about kids, you don't have to have those just say no drugs, I mean, you know, conversations to anyone, and it's just you and your wife or whatever, and you say, you know what? We're going to start smoking weed. What's the harm in that? You're responsible, right? You just like drinking. It's just like drinking. Okay, I'm going to have me and my wife going to have a bottle of wine for dinner. Half a bottle every day.
And a joint. You don't start off with a little
and pass and puff, huh? Right
and pass and puff. And lay right here
pass,
and then don't have to worry about nothing. We ain't driving nowhere. We at home. It is what it is.
Oh, man, that's good.
Yeah, man. That's funny. But, all right. Here's the monkey wrench of the night.
Mm.
You know, I thought the sex part was the monkey wrench, but that's not the monkey wrench. Here's the monkey wrench of the night. Question of the night. Why does it take a midlife crisis to get to Christ?
Mm.
For some folks.
Well, that's a great question, Mr. Hoax, and I think that, you know, you can either come to Christ and love or in pain, either way. And sometimes, you know, it takes that crisis that, you know, when you're down to rock bottom, that's when some people got to go there. You know, and I think that, I think I gave the analogy like popcorn kernels. That, you know, you buy popcorn kernels or even microwave popcorn. You put them in. You know, the microwave or the popcorn popper. All of them don't pop the same time. Some of them, you know, put right in the heat and the fire, and they poof, pop. You know, they're ready to go, ready to serve.
Mm-hmm.
But the other ones, you see the kernel just rolling around in there. You know, you hear it rolling around in there, and it just won't pop. It needs more heat and more heat and more heat. And then it'll pop. So, I mean, in some cases, some people got to get, you know, it's not just one situation or issue. It's many. You know, it's a lot of heat.
Yeah.
And then even still, there are kernels that never pop.
There's some that just will never pop.
Never pop. But they were all designed when Orville Redenbacher or whoever, you bought your popcorn, when he packaged the kernels, he intended for all of them to pop. All of them have the capability to pop. He didn't make them to just be a kernel, you know, and just be at the bottom of your popcorn bowl and never have popped, despite being in the microwave for 5 minutes, 6 minutes. They just never pop. I mean, but they were made to pop.
Yeah,
they were made to serve.
They'll burn.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They will burn. Burn for eternally. Burn.
They're gonna burn, all right?
Yeah. You're right. You're right. And a lot of times, you know, just going back to what I said earlier about, you know, the death of parents, but, you know, what happens when you're in the midlife and you lose your wife? You know, you expect to be riding on that boat, or, you know, you got the dual Harleys, you know, once you get a certain age, and next thing you know, something happens. Your wife is stricken with cancer, or she's hit by a truck, and it's just you. And now you never expected it, but now you're in crisis mode, and you have no one, or you don't have her to confide in or to give you encouragement or to console you, because she's gone.
Yeah, and that brings up a good point, because that actually happened. I know some folks that it happened to, where when we were younger, high school, we were ready to graduate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kids get ready, and they would get ready to go to school, and my boy, he's get ready to go to, you know, the school, and so his mama them bought great money, both of them in IT, working, great job, great money, wanted to buy their dream house.
Mm-hmm.
And the day she was going to closing, tractor trailer came off the back of a truck, and her car ran right into it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the kids took it hard. Father took it hard. The kids, they still think about it to get over it, but they got over it a little bit. Where the husband has lost the love of his life,
mm-hmm.
he couldn't handle it. You know, at first he tried to, you know, date all the women, you know, knock and leave, and that didn't work. Then, you know, he got to drinking heavily. That didn't work. So he left. He said, I got to get out of the state. Went to a different state. Came back a drug addict.
Mm.
Now, here's a man who's IT, been great all his life. And one tragic event
changed it all.
Changed it all. Now he crackhead and all like that. And it took him, I don't think he's on it anymore. I think it took him a while, a couple meetings. But, and he's back. But it took him very long due to one tragedy, and that's the loss of his wife.
Or, flip it around. Or you've made it to the midlife, you and the wife. Thank God. Raise the kids. Kids are out and about, off to college or whatever. And maybe something happens to, you know, one of those children that you've raised.
Hmm.
Maybe she gets pregnant, or maybe he gets somebody pregnant. Maybe your son gets somebody pregnant, or she gets pregnant, and this is, you know, everything was going smooth. You had her. Had them in college. Next thing you know, you get that phone call. Now, your life, everything was going smoothly. You know, me and the wife, the kids, you done kicked them out. Get on out of here. You know, and they're growing up. And next, your life just took a left turn that you weren't even expecting.
Hmm. How's that? So the point is that midlife crisis could affect more than just having fun in marriage. And,
sure.
Fun in your life and either affect the marriage or make the marriage stronger. Midlife crisis can do both of those things.
Mm-hmm.
But here at 11 o'clock, I guess the end of the story, when I looked at it and
mm-hmm.
I saw how big midlife crisis was, I think somebody brought up that, hey, I thought midlife crisis was just, you know, getting an earring, a tattoo, or
buying,
at a mid-age.
Yeah.
And as you can see, through 2 hours of conversation that midlife crisis is a lot more than just self-inflicted things that you want to do. It affects a lot of people around you when you want to go through a midlife crisis. And so you got to learn how to balance that out. Some said through mental communications, some through having agreement with their wives before they do it, you know, have, you know, a second opinion, I guess you can say. You know, you go to the doctors and they say, hey, you know, get a second opinion before you go and take that test. Let's make sure that the first doctor was telling, you know, the truth, or has a different option away, or a different way for you. Sometimes your wife can say, yay, you know, hey, that sounds like a great idea, but do it this way. You know, and it may work out better for both of us. So, and in the midlife crisis, we have to be careful how we do things, what we do things. Because at the end of the day, we all want to have our visions fulfilled. We all want to have our fun fulfilled. But we got to do it in the manner that we keep Christ first and the family second.
Exactly.
And then our fun last. Got to make sure that we always know that we got to keep ourselves, you know, everybody before what we want to do.
Bottom line, like you said, we need Christ for the crisis.
For sure. Right. And it doesn't matter when they come, as long as
exactly.
they get there.
Exactly. Good word.
That's right.
They're still around and get there when they're 70.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. Good
well,
word.
Great call, fellas. It's 11 o'clock. We made it.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate everybody who's attended the call. And we got a call next week that was getting ready to be one of our greatest shows ever.
So man.
Next week is what?
50 marriage mistakes most men make.
50 marriage mistakes most men make.
Wow.
I could probably name about 35 of those myself.
You probably done all 35.
So that means
hitting mistakes. I'm not here to brag, but.
Well, hold on. That means we're going to go over all 50 in 2 hours?
Absolutely.
Wow.
I'm going to try. Let me just say it, I'm going to try. I may need overtime. I may need 30 minutes.
Wow.
But I'm going to get them all in. I'm going to try, fellas.
Well, you're the conductor. So when you're the conductor, you can do what you want. You know?
Good words. Good words.
Have fun with your midlife crisis. But just remember, you got to keep Christ first.
That's right. Good words.
Crisis. That was a great saying, Rodney.
Yes,
with that being said, we are going to go into, we're going to end this call and go into open mic. Open mic gives us the opportunity to just talk freely about what you want to talk about, and we have a discussion then. So thank you again, and we'll see you next week.